Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 5th, 2022, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXVII, the fifth paragraph. And we're starting with many years ago, and we're going to read two paragraphs, ending with still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics. Today's readers are Kara L. on the text, Dana P. on page 164, Shelley E. is my backup, and we have, Audrey M. P. on the 12 steps, and Joanne L. on the 12 traditions. The reference number for Monday, April 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,777. That's 18777. And the reference number for this morning, Tuesday, April 5th, 7 a.m. meeting is 18,782. That's 18782. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Star one.
Yes.
This is Audrey M.P. Good morning, King Tuesday.
Good morning,
this is Audrey
M.P.
from Southern California, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Let's see. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Alice, for your service. And my name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, finally on the way to recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media or communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. Excuse me. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXVII. We're in the 5th paragraph, starting with many years ago, one of the leading contributors, and we're reading 2 paragraphs, so we're ending with the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. And I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading for us, please.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here. And with some misgiving, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive, and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves, and still more, in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. Good morning. My name is Kara L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And when I got this paragraph this morning, I was like, woo-wee, such good paragraphs. Leading contributors to this book, so I believe that's Bill W., and he came, acquired some ideas, and I believe those came from the Oxford group. And he was putting it into practical application at once. So continuing to work with
others who were suffering. And for me today, I see those words and I say, you know, I have to at once. There's no recovery for me unless I'm working and putting those steps in this book that are described in the book into application at once. And then later on, he said, you know, Bill says, can I talk to other patients? And I think about this theme, right? Here's this man who was a chronic, hopeless alcoholic. Nothing could have brought him back. And he's coming back a miracle, right? He's walking in the doors. And he's asking all these professionals, all these doctors, like, hey, can I talk to your hopeless cases? And I love the line in here, with some misgiving, we consented. I was like, how humble is the doctor to say, I can't fix this, but something is working with you. So I'm going to step aside and yes, please come in. Please try to pass on what you found. And that to me is a miracle right there. You know, the professional stepping aside and seeing what's just actually transpired in one of his patients and saying, yes, please bring that. And those last lines, it said they believe in themselves and still more in a power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. That's miraculous. The gates of death is those words, you know, they're so powerful. And what power, for me, that's my higher power today. What power can work in my life where every professional failed? Where everything I tried on my own, when I tried to figure out this disease on my own, failed? What is going to pull me back from the gates of death today? And that's going to be my higher power. And what do I do to keep that constant contact with the higher power? I tell myself every day, I don't know. I don't know. God, please show me the way. And I'm going to ask for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. I will now take a list of names of those who would like to share. If you can give your name, please, one at a time. And just remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that everyone might have a chance to share their experience too. So if anyone would like to share on these two paragraphs, star one to unmute.
Crispin R.
Roz
G.
Deb E.
Donna B.
Sue N. D.
Diane K.
Jenny B.
Linda W.
I think we'll stop there. Okay. I might have missed somebody, so just catch us on the next round. This is the lineup I've got right now, starting with Roz G. I heard a Deb, Donna B, Sue Ann, Diane K, Jimmy B, and Linda W. And we'll start with Roz G, star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Good morning. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And a little background noise as I'm out at the park with my dogs. So just, you know, I wanted to hone in on the unselfishness of this man as we have come to know, the entire absence of profit motive, and their community of spirit is indeed inspiring. I'm a selfish, self-centered, egotistical woman who desires to have a lot of attention, praise, and glory. Now, I put that in the present tense, but I used to be that way. I used to want to have a lot of attention. I used to want to be praised and told how great I am and brag about myself on social media. Because I had a very low self-esteem, not very good feelings about myself, and it manifested itself, strangely enough, wanting more and more attention versus wanting to hide. And today, it is a total entire psychic change, which we'll read about later on in this chapter, that I really don't want that. I used to want to share every day. I used to want to put my name out there and be a part of the big dogs and a circuit speaker. And, you know, today I just want to live one day at a time. I want to be abstinent. I want to treat my body with love and care and respect, which I'm working the 12 steps on my body image now. I want God's will in my life. I want to be another bozo on the bus. I want to have humility. I want what the Apostle Paul wants in the scriptures that I love, that it's just, don't give me too much. Don't give me nothing. Just give me enough to depend on you, God. So every day, I just want to depend on God and do what God's will is for my life and not have any expectations. Because for the past few days, I've been going through it. But the big book tells me that I'm going to have ups and downs. But as long as I have this fellowship, these 12 steps, a belief in a power greater than myself, then I'm fine. And that's really all I need. And I do need this program. I need to be of service. I need to be here. I need to be in the middle of the herd. I don't need any profit, because that would just be
time
bad.
Please.
Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Next up, we have Deb. I didn't catch the first initial of your last name and where you're from. And then after Deb, we have Donna B. Star one to unmute, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I underline these words, the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients. It is a privilege. It's a privilege, first of all, to be neutral with the food, to not be in the grips of the disease, to not be spending full days just obsessed with food and obsessed with exercise and obsessed with my body image. And then it's a privilege to get to share that and to have other people hopefully learn something from it the way I learned from the people who shared with me. And the unselfishness, it's really cool how, you know, we talk a lot about how the alcoholic and the addict, the compulsive overeater, is mostly selfish. And I see it, you know, it comes up in 10 steps and it comes up in 4-step inventories. And to go from that to, and it doesn't mean it completely goes away. I don't all of a sudden become an unselfish person, but I have tools to work with it. But when it comes to 12-step work, the unselfishness that we exhibit is really something remarkable, considering, you know, where most of our stories have taken us. And it's just, you know, in a world where, like, nothing really feels like it's free, I love that about a 12-step program, that in a way we just give, you know, there's no fee, there's no cost. We just give to pay it forward. And that's what keeps us going. And my motive to do so is to stay in a recovered state and to help others get there and hopefully stay in a recovered state. And that's it. It doesn't, you know, sink deeper than that. I can get caught up sometimes and my ego can take over and go, like, you know, it feels really good when someone's inspired by something I say, but I need to kind of squash that and go, that's not the important thing. What's important is carrying the message and passing it on to others and listening when someone is giving me the message too. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Next up is Donna B., followed by Sue Ann. Donna B., star one to unmute and share with us where you're from, please.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm having a couple thoughts in regards to these paragraphs that have been read and all of the shares that have come before mine. One is that the most powerful thing that I have to bring in my work with others is my story. And it really is a privilege to be able to share my story with others. Because when I do, it is a constant reminder that a power greater than myself came into my life and manifested a miracle. I do not have a concept of a higher power, and I have often shared that I have an experience of a higher power. And every time I tell my story, I'm reminded of that power working in my life, despite not having a clear understanding of what that power is. I know that that power exists, and I know that a miracle happened in my life. And because it happened in my life, there's no reason to believe that it shouldn't happen in the lives of others. I also want to comment briefly on chronic alcoholics being brought back from the gates of death. Chronic means that I have this disease for the rest of my life. It's never, ever going to go away. I recently had the opportunity to speak with a sponsee who's been struggling. And in essence, my message to her was, you have stage 4 cancer. You want to believe it's only stage 1 and that the treatment that's sufficient for stage 1 will work for you, but you really have stage 4. And because of that, you need to pursue a more aggressive treatment. That's the only way she and I and those of us who have this disease are really going to be pulled back from the gates of death. Those gates of death are in front of us. And when I'm in my disease, I'm running to the gates of death. But when I allow that power to work in my life through the actions that I take, that power is pulling me away. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, we have Sue Ann, followed by Diane K. Star one to unmute, Sue Ann.
Hi, I'm Sue Ann D. from New York. And I was really struck. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I wanted to thank everybody that's doing service and everybody who shares, because you help me tremendously every single day. And I was really struck by the phrase, brought to the gates of hell. And that's exactly how I feel, that I have been swept away from the gates of hell and into the light and into a place where I can be comfortable with myself. If not all the time, most of the time, because I know that I'm never alone. I know that I have God with me, and that when in doubt, look to God. I was very skeptical for many, many years about the God connection and how much of a spiritual impact that could have on my life. And for all the doubts I had and all the obstacles I put in my way, when I just allowed myself to have a conversation with God, hearing that I had diabetes was like being brought back to the gates of hell. But in conversation with my higher power, I was brought back out from the gates of hell, and just realized I have to live this one day at a time with my program strong and my relationship with God strong. And for those of you that I make outreach calls to, I really appreciate your input and your love. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sue Ann D. from New York. Diane K., we have you next, followed by Jimmy B. Star one to unmute, please, Diane K.
Yes, good morning. This is Diane K. in Southern California. Thank you so much for everyone's shares and everyone's service here this morning on the call. This is amazing that people that were at the door of death made a decision to go back to help others. That always is the miracle that I feel this program is because it is in human nature, I think, that, you know, I've recovered and therefore, you know, why would I want to go back and focus on a place where I don't even want to remember being, you know? I think it's just such an amazing miracle. And, you know, when my children were small, I had the great luck to be able to work in preschools as a co-op. And it was adorable to watch these little 2 and 3 year olds playing in the sandbox. And I always hold that image in my mind because at 2 and 3 years old, you know, it was like watching, you know, mine, me, you know, grabbing the other kids. You know, like just the selfishness is so innate in our nature, that, you know, I want the sand, I want the box, I want it all. And, you know, it took a few more years before, you know, sharing came into their consciousness, you know, but I just think it's such a miracle. And I'm so grateful that we have this book that was put in place to document how these guys, the first 100, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. What a miracle. And so I feel blessed to be here, and I appreciate all of you, and have a wonderful day. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane K. from Southern California. Jimmy B., please share with us, followed by Linda W. Jimmy, star one to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Could it maybe be Annie B.?
Perhaps. Go ahead, okay. Annie B. Sorry.
I was like, I'm waiting for Jimmy first. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And thank you so much for this meeting. This paragraph means so much to me. When I first read it, I was at the gates of death, and I was 5 months in a binge, like every day, like 5 months. And I was gaining rapidly, and I was in the rooms, and I really thought OA was a place where you just suffered together, that there was no hope for you, and that you were stuck with this disease and this addiction and this obsession, and that you could do it together. You could hang out together and use the tools. I had started like really trying to like, you know, force the tools and also keep binging. And then I met my sponsor, who said we could read the big book together and that we could find recovery. And I live in a 3-story house, and I couldn't walk upstairs to my room. Like, I was gaining so fast. And I really starting to think like, okay, I need to check myself in the hospital. Like, I might die. Like, should I get a wheelchair? Like, I have to get my kids to go upstairs to get stuff for me. And it was horrible. And I was at the point where I was like, okay, this disease is going to kill me. I'm going to just die this way of eating myself to death. And then I met my sponsor who used the term hospitalization. And I was like, wait, what? I've been looking for a hospital. OA has a hospital. Can I go there, please? And it was so amazing to be to this line. They believe in themselves and still more in the power, which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. To have people who believe in themselves that say, hey, I'm recovered. Like, I've worked the program and I'm living in a recovered state each day. Is so much hope for me when people believe in themselves, when they believe in the power that gave them this. And it just, it's so inspiring. And it definitely, the people that believe in themselves, which is you all and my sponsor, and still more the power, which pulls chronic alcoholics like me back from the gates of death. I just thank you. And I'm so happy to be recovering today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Annie B. from Oregon. Linda W., you're up, and please share with us where you're from. Star one to unmute, Linda.
Hi, I'm Linda W. from Las Vegas. I am new to this program, but not new to, well, I'm not in OA. I've been in FA for the last 5 or 6 years. And partially abstinent, but anyhow, I'm back again, and this program seems to be the program for me, for this paragraph, and I think what resonated with me was they believe in themselves, and still more in the power, which pulls a chronic alcoholic back from the gates of death. Well, I'm sure I've been headed that way. I sabotaged myself and wanted to see if I could go back up the ladder, and it did happen. And I am at that desperation. I realized that I've been a selfish woman. I realized I beat myself up. And how can I go back? No other way but this program. So I'm very grateful. I'm grateful to all of you being here. Thank God for this program. I know that God is now doing for me what I could not do for myself. And he put me here, and God wants me to help others and to listen to all of you that have got such good recovery. So praise God, I'll be here and do what I'm supposed to do and help others. Thank you for letting me share. Linda Wilner in Las Vegas. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda W. from Las Vegas. I will now take another list of names of those who would like to share with us today. Star one to unmute.
Margo B.
Carla C.
Christy M.
Kaya P.
Christy M. Kaya P. Okay, we'll start with that. I've got Margo B, Haya P, and Chrissy M. Star one to unmute, Margo, and share with us, please, where you're from.
Hi, Margo, from New York, and just want to claim my seat. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for your service and all the shares around the room. I'm in a lot of grief at the moment. So for me, one compulsive bite will lead me to hell. Without any redemption, I need to get through these emotions, trusting in my higher power, trusting in the tools of this program to get me through how I'm feeling. My feelings will pass, but if I take one, you know, one is going to be too many and 100 is never going to be enough, and I'm just going to keep going and going. This is not the day, you know, to mess with the food. You know, my emotions are really running high. I'm in so much grief at the moment. It's I feel very weary, but I need to keep moving forward, knowing that God is in control, and that's the gift of this program. You know, that I get to clean house, you know, trust God and be of service. And just keep going to God. you know, and the tools keep me connected, you know, whether it's turning stuff over, sharing in a meeting, sharing with somebody that I feel safe with in the rooms, you know. And that's all I really wanted to say was I'm feeling so many feelings at the moment, and food is not going to make it better. In a delusional moment, I may think it does, but the truth is it won't. It'll just make me feel worse. So I can still, so I can go back to like the negative billionth place where I came in crawling into these rooms. And, you know, I can self-destruct, I can self-sabotage, you know, and that's why, you know, I have to keep going to God so that I can remember that I don't have to do that today, and that there are other ways to manage and to navigate the world and life and my emotions. So I just really needed to claim my seat. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Hiya P., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, everybody. This is Hiya P. I spell my name C-H-A-Y-A. I live in Colorado, and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And I want to share, just extend my heart and hope to anyone who is struggling emotionally, physically, spiritually. There is so much hope here. You know, this is the paragraph where it says, you know, he put it into action. I think that's the most important thing. You know, one of the metaphors that we use is that I've heard is, you know, you can have pneumonia, but if you, you know, you can read about the medication, you could talk about the antibiotic, you could buy the antibiotic, but unless you actually take the entire antibiotic, and if you're not into antibiotics, just go with the metaphor, it's a metaphor, you know, that if you take the whole, unless you take the whole thing, you're not going to recover from the pneumonia. And that's this exact thing here. This is just plain old original Overeaters Anonymous. That's what this is. This is in a different program, a special program, another version of the program. This is Overeaters Anonymous. This is what Overeaters Anonymous was modeled after, Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is what they did. And I, someone was, you know, speaking about hospitalization, right? He went into the hospital, and while there are treatment centers around for eating disorders, what I found is, you know, my sponsor put me in hospitalization, which is, you know, a space of recovery is my focus. So yes, I had to, you know, make sure my kids had their needs met, and I had to go to work and things like that. But anything extra was completely off the table, and the focus was on getting to meetings and doing the work, most importantly, to get through the steps, and being very diligent with food, which I still am diligent with food, but getting into that habit of being extremely, extremely careful, you know, to make sure that I guard my sobriety. And I think something that sometimes people think that abstinence is, if you're abstinent, means you're recovered. And that was not my experience, because I could be in a thin body, but not be in a recovered state. Abstinence is required to become recovered, but abstinence in itself, it's like saying if somebody stops drinking that they're recovered, but they can, you know, I know someone who said my father was dry for 19 years. Thank God he finally drank, you know, because he was restless, irritable, discontent, because the alcohol was the solution, not the problem, right? Food was my solution to my problems, but then it became a problem in and of itself. So I'm just really grateful to be here, very grateful for this meeting, and grateful for all of you. Thanks.
Thank you, Hiya P. from Colorado. Chrissy M., star one to unmute and share with us where you're from, please.
Yeah, good morning. This is Chrissy M., grateful recovering bulimic anorexic from Portland, Oregon. And I really like that this paragraph refers to these recovered individuals as miracles, because, you know, that's what it is. When I came into the program,
I was desperate for a miracle. I did not know how to stop overeating. I did not know how to stop binging and purging. And I looked at people around me that could be in normal sized bodies and just stop. And I couldn't fathom how they could do that, you know, because no matter of my will enabled me to do that. And I was in a very hopeless and desperate place. And to come in and hear stories of people who had what I had, who suffered from what I suffered and were free and were not dealing with that it is a miracle. And it was a miracle. And I just think about how important hearing those stories are. And I think about those miracles and how they were still there telling their stories. And I think when I first came in, I wanted to come in, you know, figure out what the recipe or equation was for, you know, being in a normal sized body and not being bulimic. And then I wanted to be done with that. And that's not how the miracle works. And for the miracle to work, they had to stay, right? Like they had to keep coming back. They had to keep telling their story. And I think about the program only works for newcomers when we have miracles, we have people who have worked the program still here, right? Like the newcomer needs to hear that miracle. They need to hear how it's done. That's where we have hope. And that's how you keep your abstinence. And I think part of my relapses early on is I had this tendency to get recovery and like, okay, I don't need as many meetings anymore. I don't really need a sponsor anymore because I got this. And then slowly it would start to unravel on me. And I would just go through this cycle of getting abstinent and then stopping the things that got me abstinent and then relapsing again. And this is a lifelong program. And that was something that was hard for me to accept in the beginning, is that this is a lifelong disease. This is not something that I can come here and it's like gone forever. It's like I have this forever. And it's a 24-hour reprieve. And I have to keep showing up and I have to keep working my program, whether I have 1 year of abstinence, 5 years of abstinence, or 10 years of abstinence. If I don't keep coming back, I don't stay abstinent. And I like that was a really hard
time, please,
for me to get. Thank you. I'll wrap up. So it just reminded me of the importance of that 12th step and how we keep coming back. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. We have time for one more share if anybody would like to take that today. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is
Noreen D.
California.
I heard two people who, I need one more person, whoever that was.
Carla, I can go first there. No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everybody for their shares. I really love this program. I've been coming since the end of January, and I really
can you
love...
share your name and the first
initial
of your last name and your
Sorry.
Location, please? That's okay.
Yeah. Carla C. I'm in California. I'm very grateful, recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm very grateful for your service and everyone's shares today. I love the process and how this program works. You know, yesterday I did a fear inventory, and the person said, well, you know, share with other people, you know, and be of service. And I was able to help somebody that was in relapse, and I just, you know, quoted the big book to her about, you know, being in the hospital is a place to be where she won't go out and go get her comfort foods. And it was a blessing to her, and she really loved what I had to say, and it made me feel good. And I'm just so grateful for the process and how this program works. So thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
All right. Thank you so much, Carla in California. And thank you so much to Team Tuesday, Kara L., Dana P., Shelley E., Audrey M., and MP and Joanne L. And our newcomer greeter, Jody E., will be on the line in a minute, and Eileen M. with announcements. So stick around for that. We will now close the reading with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read for us A Vision for You?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.